One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of the 21CD podcast. I'm your host, Johnny. This is my co-host and my brother, AJ.
I'm the co-host, AJ.
We have a pretty cool story to tell you guys tonight about... This is a personal experience of ours and just an all-around weird story we think you will enjoy. So I hope that you like the stories of monsters in the woods, because
that's what we got.
That's what we got tonight. That's what we're bringing you.
And I mean, there's going to be a lot of personal stories in the podcast in general. You can expect to hear a lot of just crazy, wild stories that we've experienced. And then hopefully further down the road, we'll also have some of your stories, stories from some of our friends and people we haven't even met yet. But this one takes place in the North Woods of Wisconsin. Not as far north as you can go, but it's pretty north. And there's a lot of different kinds of woods up north. This one would be a thick canopy of tall oak trees and maple trees. And it's right on top of the Fox River. Mm-hmm. So anytime you're in the woods with moving water nearby, that adds a different element to the feeling of the woods in general. But you get a lot of wildlife.
Right. And the landscape, to try to paint a picture for you guys so you kind of can place yourself there, it's like a wooded hill on the edge of a river. So if you can imagine like a field, and then a hill starts and it just sort of levels out until it gets to a river. All that space between the field and the river is forest. Mm-hmm. So in such a way that if you were to stand on the banks of the river and try to look up into the field, you couldn't do it because you can't see up the hill and it's also forested.
Yeah.
So you're kind of in this sort of, what would you call it, a gulch?
Like, yeah, it's the valley where a river runs. Mm-hmm. And so on one side you have a drop-off that goes down to the river, and there's a bunch of trees and rocks and bluffs. And then on the other side, same story. You've got a steep hill that goes all the way down to the river. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty good amount of space. It's a relatively large forest, several acres.
At the top of it in the field, coincidentally, is our parents' house. So that's kind of relevant for later on in the story. And so we went up there to film a project. We make movies once in a while. And we went up there to visit them and to film a movie in this forest. And we had some friends helping us out. And we had built this structure that we call the tabernacle. And it was basically a bunch of logs and sticks that had been piled like laterally up, propped against this fallen tree, this massive fallen tree. And it had fallen in such a way that it was kind of like arced. So we could stack all these sticks and logs up against it and make like kind of like a makeshift teepee structure.
Mm-hmm. And this tree that had fallen was already maybe halfway up this large hill. And so from the base of the tabernacle to the top of the tabernacle, it was like maybe 20 feet tall. It's a pretty large structure that could fit 4, 5, maybe 6 small people.
Right. And we were using this for the film, but whenever we were done filming for the day or whatever, we would make a little fire in this thing and we would hang out. It was big enough that we could all sort of hang out in the tabernacle and have a little fire in there. And after working on a film for, you know, a few days, it was always nice to just chill at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, the story really kind of kicks off now that you guys kind of have, like, an image of what's going on in the area. I would say the story really kicks off when we were wrapping up filming for the final day. Like, yeah. We were pretty much done doing work, and we were just chilling.
Yep.
And it was you, me, our other brother, Jonah, and our buddy, Andy. We were all there in the tabernacle.
And that was, I think, like our third or fourth day being out there.
Yeah.
So we'd been in the woods for
a while.
Yeah, quite a long time, countless hours.
And as usual, like we usually do at the end of these long days, we were kind of just chilling there. It was probably 2 a.m. or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, it was late at night because after everybody would go to bed at the house, you know, us young guys would still be out in the woods just hanging out. That's kind of what we enjoyed doing. So, like, we would just sit down there, and, you know, we hadn't seen each other for a while because AJ and I at the time lived in Milwaukee and Jonah and Andy still lived up here in the north. So we were, you know, we were just talking and vibing, I guess.
Definitely. And so, having been out there for a while, we were all kind of tired, and the night was definitely winding down. I think we were getting close to heading back, but mm-hmm. there's still a small fire going, a couple logs in the middle, and the way that the structure was built is there wasn't a lot of ventilation for the smoke, and so it would get kind of hot in there. Sometimes it'd get a little bit hard to breathe, and so we'd step out, we'd talk in front of the tabernacle, and then we'd go back in and warm up a little bit. And one of the things with these particular woods is that they get very, very dark in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically remember that night being black. You couldn't see more than, like, it was the kind of night where if you put your hand in front of your face, you couldn't even see your hand. And so we'd been talking, telling stories, and off in the distance.
Yeah, we were just kind of hanging out, not, like, telling stories. I can't remember if one of us went out for some reason to get some air. It got really smoky in there, so I know that once in a while one of us would go out.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard this noise. One of us heard this noise. It was probably you.
I think it was me.
Heard this noise in the distance, and you were kind of like, did you guys hear that?
Did you hear that?
And, like, we weren't really scared at this point because, like, you hear stuff in the woods all the
right.
time.
And like, when you spend a lot of time in the woods, you really do get to, you kind of start understanding the sounds of the forest.
Right.
And sometimes it's wind or branches falling out of trees or...
Especially these woods because they're so familiar to us.
Right. We've been there a lot. And so when you hear something that's out of the ordinary, it stands out and it's like, it catches you. And for a second you realize you're not alone. And so we hear a sound off down towards the river. And again, you can't really see anything because the water is black, the trees are black, the sky is black, and so it's just a sound. It's a crack. It's branches breaking. And we all stop and we just wait.
We pause to listen. I think probably one of the first things I thought about was, like, was it Dad creeping around in the woods?
You know,
like, was somebody trying to play a joke on us or something? And so, like, we all just listened, and we heard like footfalls.
Yeah, what sounded like slow, walking.
Slow walking.
Right.
Is that how you remember it?
Yep. Like, it's like when you walk through the forest, but you're not trying to disturb the leaves, mm-hmm. and so you look for specific places in the ground where it's just earth, and you kind of step in those spots, but every once in a while you hit a leaf, every once in a while you hit a stick. That's what it sounded like. It sounded like something stalking in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all stop, and we get very quiet, like try not to breathe quiet. And those sounds kept getting a little bit closer, slowly, but getting closer. And the way that the tabernacle was situated is that from the inside, there was the fire, so there was light on the inside, and then we were standing on the outside, so...
You could see our silhouettes
against the close trees.
Right, because we were between whatever this thing was and the fire. So it was able to see us very clearly, even though we could not see it. And, yeah. You know, at this point, I think is when you tried to, like, we might have chucked some sticks into the woods or something to just be like, right. Hey, get out of here, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And...
Well, because we thought it was probably a deer.
Yeah.
And we're pretty logical, pretty rational people.
And there is a deer trail that runs through there.
Yeah, there's a wildlife trail that just kind of goes through the entire property, goes to the next farm, just follows along the side of the river as the animals make their way. And so we thought maybe it was a deer or just, I don't know, a raccoon stumbling through the woods potentially. It did seem more intentional than that, but so our idea was maybe we can scare it off. So we started throwing sticks towards the direction that we heard sounds in. And after we threw those sticks, we'd wait to see if we could hear it leave, see mm-hmm. if we could hear it jumping through the woods. But we didn't. It was silent, very quiet.
Yeah, there was no sound of like anything scampering off or anything like that. And it wasn't even like it was... Like, when you hear a raccoon, like, rumbling in the undergrowth or something, mm-hmm. you can kind of tell because of the sound it makes. Like, it's like a scurry. And with deer, even, you can kind of hear, like, they bounce when they flee.
Yeah.
And so, like, right, like, you can hear the different sounds that the animals make. But literally, this one, it was distinct footfalls, and after throwing sticks, we heard nothing. And... That's when I think you tried to shine your light down there.
Yeah, because it seemed like it was still getting closer. And so we threw the sticks and nothing happened. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can just flash my camera flashlight to see if we can see anything. And so I get my phone out and I turn my flashlight on. And
we didn't have any flashlights with us, of course. We were just... hanging out in the woods, so all we had was our phones.
Yeah, and when I turn my flashlight on, it creates this small, like, circle halo of, like, things that you can see. And you can see, like, the first tree, the closest one, the next few, a couple after that. But, like, after that third tree, you're still looking at a curtain of black.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see past it. As I scrolled through the woods with my flashlight, at one point there was a flicker about 35, 40 feet away. And
the eyes.
It was eyes. It was a distinct set of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were relatively low to the ground, pretty low to the ground. But something that was really odd and definitely stood out to me is that the eyes were kind of far apart. Like when you look at a dog or a cat, a deer, the eyes end up being pretty close together. And I could swear there was like 6 inches between these two floating balls of light.
And one thing that I always go back to when I imagine it, because I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I've thought over and over about what kind of creature could even have eyes that far apart, that big, and be that low to the ground while looking forward. Like, that's like if you're like a, if you have a dog or something and it's a big dog and it's like sniffing the ground, its eyes are kind of gonna be going down,
right?
But those eyes were that close to the ground and looking at us. Yeah. So like the closest thing that I can imagine to it is literally, if you can picture it, guys, like a humanoid sort of creature down on the ground, like in the prone, sort of like looking up, like it doesn't want us to see it. Like it's trying to be as low to the ground as possible while maintaining a visual on us. That is kind of like, again, we didn't see anything, but I can't imagine eyes being in that position.
Well, and that's another thing that just it doesn't make a lot of sense with the whole situation. Is it's like, if this was a regular animal, it wouldn't be coming towards human beings.
Exactly.
And so yeah, it was coming point. Towards us. It didn't get scared off when we were throwing things in its direction, and it also seemed to be trying to be quiet and hiding, which, like, all of those things are very predatorial by nature. Like, those are things that, like, a tiger would do. Yeah. And so, like, when you think about what kind of regular animal would do things like that in the woods, like, you're already weeding out a lot of potential rational answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we pop some stuff up on the screen so you can kind of see where, like, we saw the creature's eyes. There's a couple different perspectives there. So that's what you're seeing on the screen right now. But
that was legitimately the most frightening part of the entire experience. It was the time when we were looking at its eyes being close to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, it's hard to even describe it because all you're seeing is, again, these little glowing dots. And within a few seconds, they went from being extremely low to the ground to just being gone for a half second. And then they were like 6-7 feet up on the tree.
Yeah, that's definitely when, like, something changed then. Like, then that's when the dread set in for me, I think. Like, that's kind of when I was just like, what is that now? Like,
I'm going to try to describe it again, because we were watching it being close to the ground, kind of, again, like stalking in a way, and then it just...
It's like it caught a glimpse. It's like it knew now that we weren't going to... that we had seen it and that we weren't going to just run off. And at this point, it was like it was standing up to show that it was big, almost. That's kind of the vibe I got. Like, it was, at this point, it was just like, okay, you know why I'm here. Look how big I am.
Yeah, and when you try to think of, like, maybe a deer picking through the grass or the leaves and then, like, lifting its head up, like, that was kind of the hopeful idea behind what I was seeing. But like, in my head, I know a deer would not have been that tall. I also know I probably wouldn't have been able to see its eyes like that if it were on the ground digging through the leaves. And so,
no, and again, like, the deer wouldn't be standing there while I'm yelling at it, walking towards it, throwing stuff at it.
Right.
And, I mean, again, like you said, that's not exactly how tall a deer would be. From my recollection, these eyes were probably somewhere around 6 to 6.5 feet off the ground when it stood up.
Yeah.
When it went from that, for lack of a better term, prone position to what we're calling the standing position, I would say it was about 6.5 to 7 feet 6 to 6.5, maybe 7 feet in the air.
And that was really the main time I saw it move.
Yeah.
Because the other times it was just like the eyes were just there and watching. And then...
Did you ever see them... I've never asked you this. Did you ever see them like blink or anything?
I do not remember seeing them blink.
I don't remember seeing them blink either.
I just remember them always being there. When the light just was... watching. Yeah, when the light was on, there wasn't any movement in those eyes. They were... I mean, it was staring right at us.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break here, and we will be right back.
Where were we? What were we talking about? Who are we?
Oh, what a great question.
So, this creature...
I started walking towards it.
This live animal had come closer to us. It didn't get spooked. We were trying to make sounds.
We don't know what it was.
This live being... And at one point, it was very close to the ground, and within seconds, it was all of a sudden much taller.
Yeah.
These eyes, these big eyes, moved from the forest floor to midway up some of these trees. And
at this point, I was definitely now thinking, I remember thinking in my head, what is this big out here? Because it's not a bear. It's not a wolf. Both of these things would have darted if we were throwing things at them, or at least would have made so much more sound walking through the woods. Right. But like when this thing walked, it was a very precise walk. It felt like a humanoid type walk. And I had just about had enough. I remember this. So I did pick up a stick and I went down to the bottom of the hill. Yeah. So like this is probably 15-ish feet away now from the shelter, but I'm still in the firelight, maybe just barely outside. And I started literally chucking at this thing.
Right. And at this point, he's not up on the hill, so he can't see as far.
I can't even see the thing anymore because the light from my angle to where it is, it's in such a way that I can't even see the eyes reflecting anymore.
And so he starts moving closer to it and starts kind of creating a ruckus and throwing some things. Jonah has the shovel and he's kind of like banging on the tree to try and see if we can get some movement. And
we just wanted this thing to react because it was just observing at this point.
And so John's down the hill and I see it move towards him. I didn't see its body. I just see these eyes basically like lean in. Like,
how close would you say this thing is to me at this point?
It was still...
It had to be...
20, 30 feet.
Yeah, I was going to say 30 to 40 feet. So it had to be...
Right around 30 feet somewhere. And it like... Again, it leaned in. It got ready is what it was looking like to me. And at that point, I also heard some sound. And it sounded halfway in between a hiss and a...
Would you describe it as like a rumble, like a growl?
It was a growl and a hiss at the same time. It was like something like that.
And see, I didn't hear that, but I remember you being like...
I kind of freaked out.
You freaked out.
Because it looked at that point, and with that sound, it felt threatening to me. All of a sudden, this little mystery in the woods had become kind of dangerous in a matter of seconds. And so I kind of was like, dude, you got to come back. Like, you got to come back up here, like...
Yeah, I mean, at this point, all three of you guys up there were watching it, and it was like all of you all of a sudden were just like, it's right in front of you, dude. And I'm still down here like chucking, but I turn tail and run up the hill.
John sprints back up, and at this point, like...
That was one of the creepiest moments in the woods I've ever had, when I could just hear you guys just be like, dude, it's right there. It's right there. Yeah. And I'm just like, well, I'm down here and can't see. Like, I'm in the pitch black. Right. I can't see it.
No. And then at that time, John runs back up. I'm kind of using my flashlight to help him see where he's running, because you can't see anything. And I move my phone away from wherever it was, and then when I go back, it's gone. It's not there. I can't see its eyes anymore.
No.
And so, still not hearing any sounds of it leaving, we're pretty sure it's still there. And so we're just like at the mouth of this teepee structure, looking into the woods, scanning.
Yeah, we have all gone back into the structure at this point, because we're half expecting a showdown of some sort. Like, at least I was. I was half expecting this thing to kind of just stalk closer. And if it wasn't for everybody cumulatively freaking out to the point where it was just like, we're leaving, I might have stayed in that teepee and just died in there.
Well, we didn't even want to leave because we didn't know where it was. And so, like, we're sitting there looking out, trying to see what's...
Yeah, what, like...
It's
we each had, like, this little, like, a weapon of some sort, like a sturdy stick or a shovel. And I think there was even, like, a hammer. One of us had
a hammer.
Yeah,
one of us had a hammer.
Because we were using it to, like, nail up the walls of this structure. And the fire was going, but we had limited wood for the fire, and so we weren't going to go out into the abyss and collect more wood for the fire to keep it going. Andy was absolutely, if I remember correctly, Andy was done, and Jonah didn't want to be down there. None of us really wanted to be down there anymore.
No, Jonah was gripping that shovel pretty tight, and
we were preparing to figure out how to get out of here.
Yeah, it was about to be like fight or flight. Like, you either got to run or you got to hold your ground. And we couldn't find this thing. And we also didn't hear it leave. And so we were just waiting. And then, you know, again, you're like, okay, well, what?
Yeah, in an ideal
situation. What the hell is
happening?
So, like, everybody shut up.
Yeah.
And then you listen.
Hoping to hear it run off.
Hoping to hear anything that gives you an idea of where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing comes.
No sound whatsoever. But, like, not even, like the sound of night birds or bugs. There's, like, no sound.
No.
It was just quiet. Which, that's not really the way the country is at night.
No.
So it's... I don't know. So basically, we ended up thinking, the house is sort of at an angle up the hill, but the quickest way up the hill is just to literally go straight up the hill, and then you would have to cut across a field to get to the house from there, and basically run horizontally along the tree line at the top of the hill. And the problem is, right behind us to go up the hill is pretty thick.
Yeah, and the hill is steep enough where when you're actually trying to get up it quickly, you're on your hands and knees.
You're on your hands and
knees.
Like,
you're pawing at the earth to try and climb this hill.
And there's thorns and fallen logs and trees, and it's kind of thick woods there. Like...
Yeah, it is.
And but, correct me if I'm wrong, but... We all kind of took our own different route up the hill. Like, we didn't even go up as a unit, really.
No, it ended up just being like, okay, let's go. Yeah. Like, okay, let's go. Come on, let's go. And we just all started kind of running up the hill. Like,
which, in hindsight, is actually doesn't bode well for us in difficult situations.
Well, I mean, we didn't even know where it was. Like, we looked again before we actually went. We scanned again with what we could see, and it was just not there anymore. We couldn't find those eyes, and so we just sort of
Note to you guys, if you ever get the opportunity to go camping with us and there's something creepy in the woods, you might be on your own.
Yep, find your own path, buddy.
Because we're freaked out, too.
Yeah, so we hightailed it up the slope, and we left the woods. And
we got up into the house, and we kind of told the parents, you know, like...
Well, we told them the next morning.
Oh, that's right. It was so late.
It was so late. We got up into the house, and we were just all chilling in the library, and we were just like, what the heck was that?
What the heck was that?
Locked all the doors, checked the openings.
So, yeah. And then the next day, after we told Mom and Dad...
Did you go back down in the woods before we talked to Mom and Dad? Did you find what we found until when did that happen?
Yes. So the next morning, I usually wake up a little bit earlier than these guys. So like the next morning, I woke up and I went down, and
because he was looking for something, like
I wanted to
tracks.
See, yeah, I wanted to see if there's any sign of whatever it was, and. So I went to the tabernacle. That's what we called the structure. I went there first, and then I sort of looked down to where we saw these eyes, and I walked in that direction. And, of course, I got to the deer trail that goes through that area along the river.
Yep.
And I started walking up it until I got to that tree, which is where I believed we saw the eyes. Obviously, it was hard to tell what tree exactly. But right in that area is this little area of trees that I figured this is where it was. This is where it feels like it was. Mm-hmm. And that's when I saw these branches that had been... It looked to me, and everybody who's seen these photos agrees, and I will put these... You guys can see these too. I'll put them up. It looked like they were intentionally placed... in two X's right next to each other like this. And there was like a big one.
It was like this, basically.
And then there was a smaller one down here. And it was two, and they were perfectly angled X's.
They were X's, or if you look at the negative spaces, it was making like four diamonds.
But they were perfect.
They were, the amount of times you see right angles in nature is actually...
Like, let me just show you. I'll show them, too. But let me show you the photo because I actually got it on here before. Like, I mean, just so your memory is jogged.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at this.
Like,
so, again, like, the amount of times that you see right angles in nature is stiflingly low. It just doesn't really happen all that much. You'll find curves and lines and different forms, but...
Even if they were to fall like that, that is such a strange coincidence, like right next to each other, first of all.
Yeah.
And then both in the same exact shape like that.
And so, like, when you look at this picture, these sticks don't just happen like that. That just doesn't something that... naturally happens, because these are also branches that didn't come from these trees. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got two trees here, and then there's one, two, three, four-ish branches that are, somewhat intentionally placed to create shapes in between these two trees.
I looked that up, too. After I saw that, and I took the photos, and I got back to the house, I looked it up online, and... Literally, my Google search was strange X formations from branches in the woods. That's all it was, because what else am I going to Google? And I actually got results of people finding these in the woods. And they were always saying one of two things. Either this is a Bigfoot that is basically... This is his, like, no trespassing sign. That's what some people said.
Interesting.
This is a Bigfoot that Bigfoot tends to use these signs to basically say, this is my domain.
Sure.
And other people were saying that this is kind of something that happens around an abnormality in the environment, such as a portal or something that was here that came through. There are oftentimes strange stick structures
sure.
that are left behind or are put up in that kind of area.
When something abnormal happens, the nature can't ignore it.
I guess. Yeah.
Well,
either that or it puts it there. Like if something right. is out there that needs to remember where to go later.
Yeah.
Something like that. How to mark, you know, like.
Well, it's marking its territory in some way.
Yeah,
or it's marking somewhere that it's been.
Right, or creating a landmark of some type.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it really could be one of three things. And one is that it was just a natural thing. This is a complete coincidence. What we saw was nothing abnormal. We just over-exaggerated it. And when I went to the next place, I saw these stick structures, and that's just because the sticks fell that way. But we can easily disprove that, and we did, because we were filming right there all, like, for 2-ish, 3 days.
Right.
So we had walked there over and over, and they weren't
right.
there.
Right. No, it happened overnight.
It happened overnight. So, like, we knew that those weren't there the day before.
Right. And we also knew it wasn't... I just don't think it could have been a deer. We would have scared that off. We would have heard it jumping through the woods. And so John goes down the next morning, finds the stick structures, comes back up, brings me down there. Joan and I, we take a look at it, and we go back up inside, and we're just hanging out, talking with
the parents. We decide we're not filming anymore. We're done.
Yeah, and we also weren't really sure if we wanted to tell Mom and Dad quite yet, because we were just, like, still sort of processing. And Mom brought it up.
Well,
without us telling her about it.
No.
Right?
No. What ended up happening is we brought it up. We brought it up as a joke. We went into the kitchen, because remember Benjamin was there, our other younger brother. And we were like, yeah, we got chased by a Wendigo in the woods last night. Like, we were just joking.
Yeah.
And Benjamin all of a sudden had an experience to share.
It's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and he was just kind of like, dude, I've been seeing something down there.
Yeah, well, he had talked about seeing something go past his window.
Yeah, and that's when Dad, who was in the kitchen at the time as well, said that he found the downstairs door open one night.
Yeah.
Like, blatantly open, and made it a rule that we weren't even allowed to go in and out through downstairs because he was too afraid that the door would not be solidly locked.
Yeah, so, like, a bunch of things happened at once there. We made a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, man, be careful in those woods. We got chased by a skinwalker last night.
Yeah, skinwalker.
And Benjamin was like, really? What did you see? And then he's like, I saw something last night go past that window. And we were like, what did you see? And he was like, well, it's just like a shadow. Mm-hmm. It just went past the window. And then, yeah, Dad was like, yeah, I found that door open. You guys got to keep that locked. Don't go out that door in the evening. Just go yep. out upstairs. We got to keep that locked at night. And then...
I even talked to him alone, and Dad, and I was just like, you know, like, because I wanted to know how serious he was. So mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, really? You don't want us to use the door at all? Like, even right. if we lock it?
Right.
Because... we were still going to be there, and, you know, we don't... In our parents' house, the only other way out of the house is upstairs, and you have to walk past our mom and dad's bedroom to leave the house. So, like, when we're visiting them, there's a lot of times they go to bed at 8 or 9 o'clock, but we're not done with our evening yet. We're still filtering in and out, and we didn't want to wake them up. So I was just like, seriously, like, are we not allowed to go out through the downstairs door? And he's like... I don't want you guys opening or closing that door. I want that door to stay locked and for you to not use it.
Yeah, because that was the door that Benjamin had seen stuff through before. Mm-hmm. It was right next to the window that he'd seen shadows. And
if you look out this door, too, it's a glass door, and it's flanked on either side by two pretty modestly sized windows.
and it goes right down into the woods.
Right into the woods. Like, there's, we're talking like 10 feet, and it's the edge of the woods. It's the wood line.
And it's that it's that hill that just goes right down.
Throws up.
Gets possessed.
Episode one, throws up.
But yeah, there's this, the ridge line that drops down, and it goes all the way down to the river, and trees start right at the top of the ridge. And so after Dad kind of was like, yeah, don't go out that door, that's when we were like, well, yeah, I mean, we had kind of a weird experience. Mm-hmm. And
they talked about it pretty much all day, off and on. They would bring it up again. It was like they wanted to know more, but they didn't want to actually entertain that it was a real thing that happened.
We do make jokes about the things that terrify us.
Of course.
And like,
and Dad's always nervous that Benjamin's going to get too scared.
Yeah. Well, and I think Dad was also like, again, like we're pretty rational people. And so when something weird happens like that, all of us are trying to find the answer. We're trying to solve the clues together to find what happened. And it's like, we couldn't figure it out. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, by all natural animal movements and sounds, it wasn't adding up. By the way it seemed to change its form from small to large, to the way it seemed to be aggressive and also unafraid. Like, there's just a lot of things that were not adding up with what happened in the woods. And so then on top of that, the door being open and Benjamin seeing shadows, and then like later,
this is where it gets, this, if this isn't weird enough, this is the part that made me like, this is what solidified that there was something strange going on. You know, like up until this point, like we kind of talked about this before we even started the podcast tonight, but we were just kind of like, how do we even describe what it is? Because you want to give it a name for whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is we didn't see what any like defining feature. We just saw these eyes. So it's like you can't, you want to say it's a Wendigo, you want to say it's a skinwalker, you want to say it's a rake, or yeah, like you want to say it's one of those rogue jaguars that they say they have up there. Like you want to say it's something. But the fact of the matter is we didn't see anything that gave us any kind of hint as to what it could be.
Just these eyes that were pretty wide apart.
So that being said, that's when Mom, who was also in the kitchen when we were telling this story,
She gets a text.
She did get a text, but she got a text before we told the story.
Yeah.
She had already gotten the text. Same day or the night prior. It might have been the night prior.
No, it was that morning.
But it was before we told the story.
Yeah, no, she got a text early that morning.
Yes, exactly.
She got a text early that morning from one of her friends. And
so our mom,
beautiful, amazing woman.
Strong woman, lovely woman, love her to death. But she does not like these kinds of conversations at all. She doesn't like thinking about negativity. She's a beam of light in the world, and she doesn't entertain monster stories or
ghosts aren't real.
And you know, you didn't say anything, there's nothing there. But she's also like, she has this history that I don't feel like enough people talk about, where she has strange foretelling dreams once in a while.
And it goes a little beyond like women's intuition. Like some women do just have a way of predicting the future in a way, but like Mom has had very detailed dreams about like events that haven't happened that do happen.
Right.
One example is that she was like, I had the strangest dream that my cousin Stacy was pregnant. And then, like, later that day, Stacy calls her and she's expecting. And it's like, what?
But another strange thing about Mom is oftentimes some of her friends also have those types of dreams.
Yeah.
Which she's not that kind of, like, she doesn't, she's not one of those, like, new age, like, dreams or messages or, like, and, like, manifests with crystals or anything like that. She's not that kind of, she's a very logical, happy, nice person who just cares about her kids, basically.
Yep.
And so,
loves,
like,
Jesus, loves, yeah, her kids.
She's not at all in that realm. But today was different.
And she was a little bit more interested. She was paying a bit more attention mm-hmm. to the story. And that's when she gets out her phone. She's like, well, I don't know. I don't know.
That's so weird.
And we're like, what? She's like, I don't know. I got this text this morning. Let me just read it to you. Can I read it to you?
But, like, she's peaked. Like, you're making her sound like she's not interested, but she is.
No, she is.
She knows this is something of substance.
And I don't know if I'll get it exactly right, but the text said from one of her friends at, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 in the morning, mm-hmm. her friend was like, quote, "Hey, friend, I've been thinking about you and your family. I just wanted you to know that I'm praying about you and the situation in your backyard."
Yes. That's exactly it. I'm praying for you about the situation in the backyard. And our mom had replied, obviously, and said, you know, what do you mean, the situation in the backyard? And her friend answered back and said, that's all that I know. That's all that I got.
Yeah, I don't really know, but that's I just know that I need to pray for you and the situation in the backyard.
Right. So these woods are behind the house. I wouldn't exactly call them the backyard, but this house doesn't have a backyard except the woods. Mm-hmm. And that's where all of this took place. And so what the heck was that? Like, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it now.
Yeah, and I remember we were all sitting in the living room, and Mom read the text, and we all just kind of, like, we took a vibe check of the room. We
it was just, like, silence in the room. You could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, everybody's eyes just flicking around to look at each other, like, what? Okay.
I was like, you're joking. Like, finally, I was just like, are you serious? And it's, honestly, that's the story, guys. It hasn't really been the same since, and occasionally we'll still go back, and, you know, there's still the joke, like, when we go outside near the nighttime, and they'll just be like, well, watch out for the Wendigo.
Yep. Bring your handgun.
Right. But I would say that is definitely, that is probably one of our best cryptid personal stories.
Well, it's the closest to home, literally. It's like it happened in the backyard, and it's something that, again, to this day, like, we do have slightly different experiences and memories of it, but it's just like there's no real explanation for what happened. And then the following morning, having 3-ish, 4 different iterations of be careful.
Yeah.
Like, be on the lookout.
And somehow the whole family, like, having their own experiences, but they none of them had told each other.
Right.
Until this story.
Exactly. We all had.
Yeah.
We all had some form of experience with something happening, and it wasn't until we were all in the same room and just.
It was like somebody just needed to break down the dam.
Right. It's like the ball of yarn just uncoiled in front of us, and now all of a sudden we have 5 situations that happened very recently, all circulating the same event, which is a unknown thing.
Some kind of creature in the woods. We don't know what it is to this day, but I do know that I remember distinctly when I camped down there for one night. It was me and my dog, Scarlet, and she did not want to be down there. Like, she hate, like, of all the trips I brought her on, she, like, the one closest to the parents' house, she was just like, no, I want to go sleep in the house. And I actually did end up bringing her back up into the house, and then I still went and camped down there.
Yeah.
And, dude, it was one of the creepiest camping trips I've ever been on.
Oh, yeah, and those woods are just, they're bizarre in general, because you always feel like you're being looked at from somewhere. Like, you just, like, you're down there, and you have this, like, illusion of privacy, but it feels like you're being watched down there. And, you know, again, we didn't find any tracks. We didn't find any fur or footprints. We didn't find any scratches on the trees. We didn't find any physical signs other than a tangled web of intentionally placed sticks.
It's pretty crazy.
It's
bizarre. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and take another break real quick, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, thanks for taking that second break with us. Hope you had a good break. What did you guys do? What did you do?
I stood up, stretched my big legs. Then I sat back down and just thought really hard and introspectively about everything and my life.
How is it going?
In my life?
Yeah. Not great.
Good, not great. Is this rolling?
Yeah, it's rolling, I think. Yeah, it's right. Going.
Well, so, you know, just to kind of recap and everything in summary, we don't know what it was, and this is one story that we have out of several stories that we don't have answers for.
Yeah.
And
we're not trying to push any agenda that it was a monster or whatever.
Yeah, we don't even know.
That's why I'm not even bringing up what kind of monster. You know, like when people have these kinds of experiences, I feel like all too often they want to put a name on it.
Yeah, and then for half of the whatever, now you're talking about something that didn't even happen.
Right.
It isn't even.
You're like taking an experience in the woods and you're trying to fit it into the Bigfoot mold.
Right.
And that's, I don't know. To me, that always almost works against your story.
Right. Like, I could go down the list of all the things that the Skinwalker is, and we could talk about the Skinwalker for another hour. But, like, I don't know if that's what it was.
And it's, you could argue that it's relevant. I mean, in those woods, there's a lot of history with Native Americans. And, like, Wisconsin is a huge, there's a lot of lore there.
Yeah.
Relating to the Native Americans and the trappers that were there before. We have some pretty bizarre, creepy crawlies that are said to be in those woods.
Well, and it's also, like, again, the river aspect of those woods is really interesting. And, like, when you think about a body of water, the water doesn't change over the years very much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that water is ancient. It's not, you know, the water's fresh, but that way, that path, that place on Earth hasn't changed for potentially hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about the history that happens in one place, it starts to build, it adds. And so sometimes you go someplace and you feel something and you don't know what it is.
Right.
When you go to a place that has a really deep and long and rich history, for some reason you feel something. When you go to a Civil War battlefield and you just sit there for a few minutes, you start to think differently and you start to feel things differently. And a riverway is like that, where it's just like this river has untold stories for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
With many different types of people and different walks and different situations that you can't even really begin to unpack because nobody had the ability to record their whole story.
Right, and I think humans are just insane to think that they know everything that goes on in the woods. You know, like, not only is all of that true that you just said, but we also just don't know what's creeping around at any given time. We don't know what is not of this world that could be out there. We don't know anything about those things. And that's why so many people don't believe. But just because you haven't seen it with your own eyes doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, there's hundreds of millions of untapped acreage of forests where, like, you're telling me nothing happens in them?
Right.
Nothing?
Right.
And, like, so, yeah, if you go out into the woods and you're out there for 4 or 5 days, I bet you'll see something that you didn't expect to see. I bet something would happen that's kind of unique. Something kind of strange. And that is a lot of our stories. It's it's strange things that happen in places where you don't expect to find them. And I think, you know, this is just the very beginning, a very surface level story of some of the things we do have.
It would even be fun, and maybe we'll do this, guys. Maybe we'll let you decide, but it would even be fun to do an extensive amount of research on what we experienced that night, just various aspects of it, and maybe do another episode in the future with more ideas of what we could have been experiencing.
Yeah.
From, you know, what could be big enough to have those that size head / eyes roaming around the woods in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Have there been other sightings of strange creatures along the Fox River in that area? Like, what Native Americans were living here prior, and what did they believe was going on in the woods?
Right.
Stuff like that, the sticks, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we might be able to come back and offer more of an, you know, like a
hypothesis.
Right, exactly. Like some kind of theory as to what it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're not really the kinds to just like force an explanation for our strange experiences, because some of them are just so weird that I get a little embarrassed telling the wrong people face to face.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, I listen to people podcast all the time on these things, and it really shuts me down when people are just like, oh yeah, it was definitely a skinwalker. And wow. We might have just been bombed by China outside. I don't know what that was, but anyway, all this to say, guys, you guys should make, if you guys heard any trigger words in there that really ignited something in your brains or your minds as to what you think we might have experienced, what is that?
I don't know. There's some...
There's some massive explosions going on outside. Maybe the government's coming for us already, but
we gotta shut it down.
Shut her down, boys. But no, if you guys have any idea, or you have your own experiences, or you've done any research and you think you might know a little bit about what you've heard tonight in our story, and you want to tell us what you think it's all about or what you know.
Maybe something similar happened to you. You've seen something that you can't really justify. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, send us an email or leave a comment or something like that. Send us a message and let's talk about it. Let's see where it goes.
I'm really excited to tell some of our other stories and really get into this and continue putting up a place where you can talk about it and like kind of hyper-analyze some of the things that is tucked away in the back of your brain, but you don't really say.
Right. Right. Yeah, guys, we got a lot coming. This is only the beginning. Episode 1. This is going to go a lot of fun places. This was a great time. Great first episode. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll go ahead and we'll shut her down here, and we'll see you next time. And remember, don't drink the water and stay saucy.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.